We begin today on the pastor's study in the book of Acts, chapter number 20 and verse 27 as our starting point. So let's turn there together in the Word of God to Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 20, Paul the Apostle is giving his farewell address or his charge to the elders or pastors of Ephesus before he leaves them, amen, to continue on his journey, on his missionary journey. And he says in verse 27 of Acts chapter 20, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He was not derelict in his duty, Paul was. He preached the whole counsel of God. He not only preached about the love of God, he preached about sin. He preached about all kinds of things, all kinds of Bible doctrines that we find. Not only the doctrine of grace, amen, and the doctrine of prayer, and the doctrine of faith, amen, but the doctrine of separation, amen. There are so many preachers today who are not preaching the whole counsel of God, and that's what's wrong with our churches today. That's why we're non-effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why people are not living godly, because all they hear Sunday after Sunday, amen, is marshmallow preaching. You know, sweet, syrupy preaching, amen. Preaching to make you feel good, amen. Preaching ought to bring conviction about sin in an individual's life, amen. Should it not? It should, the Word of God, the preached Word of God, the pure Word of God, amen, is preserved, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God is preserved today in the King James Bible, amen. AV 1611 King James Bible. If you have one, you have the Word of God. If you don't have one, you don't have the Word of God. It's that simple. Amen. But today I wanted to bring out, you know, as Christians, on the one hand, we all like to focus on and emphasize such words as grace, peace, joy, love, faith, goodness, gentleness, meekness, mercy, and forgiveness. You see, because such words are non-offensive and non-confrontational when it comes to dealing with the non-believer. But such words have a tendency to keep a Christian, I believe, within his or her comfort zone. On the other hand, as Christians, we have a tendency to avoid such words as division, suffer, persecution, go, and the word witness. The reason being is that these words are often offensive and confrontational to the non-believer and require the believer to come out of his or her comfort zone. But the thing we need to see and understand is these words that I just mentioned, the second group, are just as much a part of our Christianity as the first group of words. Today, I want us to examine together the second group of words and see how they apply to our identification as Christians. And along with that, I want to ask each and every one of you this question. Are you a comfort zone Christian? In other words, do you find yourself embracing the first group of words and at the same time avoiding the challenge presented by the second group of words that I mentioned? Let's first look at that word, division. The Lord Jesus Christ had something specific to say about division. And let's turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 12, in verses 51 to 53. Luke 12, verses 51 to 53. Jesus says this, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth." And of course, that's what a lot of the religious crowd will tell you. Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. He came to bring peace on earth and so forth and so on. But notice he doesn't stop there. He said, "I tell you nay." He said, "No, I didn't come to bring peace, but rather division." Division, which is the opposite of peace. Amen. The opposite of unity and harmony. And he says in verse 52, "For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two, two against three." And then he goes further and talks about the division. "The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Christ brings division. Amen. Christ is supposed to bring division. Amen. Since I've been saved, I have been at odds with a lot of people within my own family. Amen. Because of my stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the truth always brings division. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the truth. Amen. The Word of God is the truth. The truth brings division. It's supposed to. Jesus said that he's come not to bring peace, no, but rather division. You see, my friend, when you live and witness for Christ, it's supposed to bring division. You see, in essence, when you witness for Christ, what you're doing is trying to divide or separate someone from Satan's kingdom and make them a part of the kingdom of God. Amen? When you live in witness for Christ, often it will bring division between you and your family, bring division between you and your friends. Amen? You and your co-workers, and you and your classmates. Amen? What I find interesting is many of you probably listening today are often outspoken against being politically correct, and I am against that too. Amen? But you know something? You do the same exact thing when it comes to Christ. You have a tendency to be politically correct. And why is that? Because you don't want to offend your family, your friends, your co-workers, or your classmates. You know, if the truth be known, some of you enjoy fellowship with them, family, friends, co-workers, or classmates, more than Jesus Christ and other Christians who are sold out for God. Amen. The average Christian, when you try to fellowship with them, you know, it's usually, you know, "Let's go feed our face." Amen. And the conversation has a tendency to have a focus on material things, not around the Lord, or maybe something the Lord showed you, the Holy Ghost showed you in the reading of the Scriptures, the studying of the Word, or a testimony, and how God blessed you, or how you try to witness to someone, or how you led someone to the Lord. Amen. Notice also what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. something for you to think about, something for you to meditate on, as we talk about witnessing for Christ and Christ bringing division. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And he says, but here's the other side of it. "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, you see, Christians are supposed to be a divided or separated people. We're to be divided from the unsaved, the non-believer, divided from the world and the things of the world. I didn't say we're supposed to be hermits and live in a cave and never talk to someone that's unsaved. You know what I mean. We're to be in the world but not of it. We're to use the things of the world. You know, we need a job to earn a living, to pay our bills, to have a home, to buy food and a car and so forth and so on. But oftentimes Christians get caught up in material things, amen, get wrapped up in them and have a tendency to forget about the spiritual things, amen. As Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters, either going to love one and hate the other, amen. You cannot serve God and mammon, and that's the truth. Some of you are trying to do that. That's why you're so unstable in all your ways, you're double-minded. Amen, trying to put one foot in the world and one foot serving God. You just can't do it. See, some of you, what you need to do is leave your comfort zone and take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice what the scriptures say in the book of Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us, you know, this verse we're going to read in 13, Hebrews 13, verse 13, says, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Now the verse before it, verse 12, said, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate of the city of Jerusalem." Now, therefore, as a result, we're to go forth unto him without the camp. You're not going to find Jesus Christ within the camp. What's the camp? We're talking about, you know, pitching a tent and, you know, going hiking and cooking outside, or maybe going in the Winnebago and camping out. No, the camp is what is in favor for the day. The camp is the popular place of the day, the place that is highly esteemed of man. Now, see, this can also apply to the unsaved, but also to the saved. Because within even the fundamentals ranks of the Baptists, the independent Baptists, amen, there are different camps. You know, people say I run into Baptists, I'm an independent Baptist, I don't belong to any camp. The only camp I belong is the Lord Jesus Christ and the V1611 King James Bible, amen. But you'll have this group and that group, and they're fighting one another, amen. But you're not going to find Jesus in the camp, my friend. Jesus is outside the camp. See? And if you live and witness for Christ, amen, and you're trying to live godly, and you're trying to do right, then you will not be accepted with inside the camp of the world, or even some of the camps of the independent fundamental Baptists. Amen. I've been there and I've done that. Amen. The brethren will just beat you up sometimes. You know, you're trying to live godly, trying to live for God. Oh, they'll say, look at him. Who does he think he is? Who do I think I am? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was in the world more years than I have been saved. So I know what it's like. And I don't want to go back. Not since I've tasted the milk and honey of Canaan land and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life, taking an old wicked hell-bound sinner, saving him by his grace, and placing him, finding me faithful, and putting me in the ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord, that should get you shouting and running the aisles. Praise the Lord. Well, but let me tell you something. Being outside the camp is the best place to be. You know why? Because you're trusting and depending only on the Lord Jesus Christ to get you through this old life. You have the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, as God has given you, as he's given me, a wonderful helpmeet. Most of the time, it's going to be, brethren, if you're trying to live for God, you, your spouse, and the Lord. Amen. And thank God we have the book, the King James Bible. Amen. I pray that none of you listening that call yourself Christians that are saved begin your day without getting a good dose of the book in you. Amen. That's right. You need a good dose of the book to get inside you, to saturate you, if you're going to do anything for the Lord that day. Not only that, but prayer. Prayer and supplication, along with a daily dose of the word. That's just the fundamentals, friends. But most Christians can't even do that. Never mind trying to teach them anything deep out of the word. Amen. Well, so the first thing we've looked at is that word division. Christians are to be divided. Amen. And if you think about it, you know, all through this, we see in the New Testament, in the Gospels in particular, we see there's always division, the chaff from the wheat, amen, the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goat. God is a God of division, amen. He wants us to be a separate people, amen. He says, I was not of this world, and we're not to be of this world. And you know what? Someday, Christian, if you're born again, if you trusted Jesus Christ by faith, believing that Christ died, he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. If you're trusting in only the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you, then you're going to heaven. If you're trusting in anything else, my friend, you're going to spend time and eternity in a lake of fire. Amen? God's a great divider. All through the scriptures, remember, he divided the Egyptians from the Israelites. What did he do? He divided the Red Sea. He parted it so the children of Israel could go through and to be safe on the other side. And then he brought the waters back together and destroyed the Egyptians. All you need to do is go through the scriptures and see division. Choose. You need to choose who you're going to serve, Joshua said. Division. Remember when Korah and his, amen, and Dathan and them rose up against Moses and Aaron? What did God do? He opened up the earth. He divided the earth and swallowed up that rebellious crowd. Amen. Division. Amen. Division. And you know what? Someday, Christ is going to return for us. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ. He's going to return for every born-again, blood-bought believer from the day of Pentecost up until the day of the rapture. The day of the shout, amen. And he's going to literally divide each and every one of us from this earth for time and eternity. So we need to be, as Christians, a divided people. See, the reason we're losing the battle here, amen, is because Christians, for the most part, have blended in with the rest of the world, and you can't tell them apart, amen. I run into people all the time, tell me they're saved, I ask them, and yes, I've trusted Christ and the whole thing. But they're not divided. They're still living in the world. Division is so important. You need to be divided as a Christian. Amen. Christ, he said he's come to bring division. He's come to bring a sword. Amen. You know, the word of God is a sword. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It cuts either way. Amen. The word of God can cut. It can hurt. It can divide. Amen. So, as a Christian is to be divided. Amen. He's to be divided. He's got to realize if he's going to live for God, he's going to bring division. You're not going to win any popularity contests. Amen. That's what we're not here for, to win any popularity contest. Now, the second word that I want to look at for a bit here is persecution. Persecution. Right now, as I speak, there are Christians in other countries who are suffering persecution just for trying to assemble. Amen. A lot of churches in different countries are underground because Christianity is prohibited. Amen. In that country, especially the countries that are Muslims. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul says to Timothy, yea, in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Here's the condition. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, Timothy, this is what the results are going to be. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Right now, in present tense. See? And the reason some of you have never experienced persecution is because you've never lived godly in the first place. Now, the Word of God, when it talks about living godly in Christ Jesus, is not talking about living self-righteously, which means you're trusting in something you can do to save you, or being a religious person, which is someone that goes through a lot of rituals and routines. Amen. No, the Word of God is talking about living like God would want you to live. And how is that? Totally obedient and surrendered to His will for your life. Not my will, but thine will be done. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Getting up every day, your will, Lord, not my will be done. So we see the verse that I just read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. The condition in that verse is living in Christ Jesus, and the promise or the result of doing that is persecution. The two go hand in hand. Now, for the most part in our country, I haven't heard it. Most of us are able to freely assemble, amen, as believers, and worship together. But let me tell you, if you live godly for Christ Jesus, okay, so we're not talking about the persecution like that's going on in other parts of the world. They get persecuted just for trying to assemble together, or if people know about their faith in Christ or their declaration for Christ and the murder and so forth. For the most part in this country, that doesn't happen. But when you live godly for Christ Jesus, when you witness for Him, you live for Him, you'll suffer persecution. Maybe not that type of persecution, amen. People don't like it when you try to live for God. Not only the unsaved, but even Christians that are backslid. You know, they get this attitude, well, who do he or she think she is? But I just speak from my personal experience. Since being saved through the years, and I've been saved now for about 17 years, but through the years after we've been saved, I've had my house and my car literally stoned. Amen. I've also, the first church that I pastored, I came out one night and someone had given me a flat tire. And then the shed, the tool shed behind my house, someone set on fire. And the neighborhood that I am, I'm surrounded by non-believers. Try to witness to them, be a blessing to them as best I have, but most of them don't speak to my wife and I. And part of the reason is in the town that I live in locally here in Massachusetts, I have a local cable program every week that's aired three or four times in the week on good, solid Bible preaching and teaching, amen. So people clearly know where my wife and I stand on the things of God. In fact, for the most part, my own family, you know, blood, relatives, have nothing to do with me. Amen. Because of my stand on Christ, for Christ. Amen. So, persecution is part of the Christian life. You know, maybe you won't get the promotion at work because of your stand for Christ and being outspoken. I don't mean being obnoxious and trying to witness to people on company time, but people know where you stand. You know, you won't be part of the dirty jokes. Amen. And so forth and so on. You're going to suffer persecution. That's the promise in that verse. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Our time is just about run out today on the pastor study, but I'm going to continue in this message, or you a comfort zone Christian, and talk more about this word persecution, which should be a part of every Christian's life. Amen. We meet again. My prayer for each and every one of you is that God would richly bless you, and good day.